So with that, I feel inspired because we can create a group coherence. I think it would be inspiring that we can send compassionate light to cultures where compassion is seen as a weakness. Is that okay if we collectively focus on that intention? And so if that becomes our intention, I invite you to close your eyes and soften your body, soften your face, your shoulders, your arms and hands, relax your back, your abdomen, your thighs, your feet. Feel everything relax and allow your breathing to soften and be very slow in inhaling and very slow in exhaling. And as our breathing rhythm begins to synchronize, the beating of our hearts become entrained so that our hearts are beating in unison. And as we connect with the energy of our heart, we're connecting with the energy of each other in the room. And because we are powerful co-creators, we can use our consciousness to send energy. And in this collective coherence, let us just send energy out into the field so that those cultures that see compassion as weakness, we're sending them energy of benevolence and love. And just imagine a bubble of benevolence and love descending down upon a culture that doesn't quite understand that compassion is a beautiful strength, and that compassion is an automatic action that we have towards each other. When we understand that each of us holds a spark of the divine, we are scattered jewels containing pieces and parts of the divine spark. And we're just feeling into that bubble of love and benevolence descending down upon cultures that see compassion, so that they may view things from a different perspective. And they will receive the benefit of what it feels like to receive someone's compassion. So we send into that bubble the allowance to receive love and compassion. And in that bubble, you also are giving allowance for yourself to receive love and compassion. And so in this bubble we're all sitting, let us now receive the love and compassion that comes through the messages of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. I am fully aware of where I am, where you are. Spirit is not in a vacuum and never has been. It's one of the things that you're not told. Those of you who grow up in this particular culture and that in so many areas of the world, are taught from the beginning that you are, again, apart from God. And that the idea that perhaps God knows you and what you're going through and your issues and perhaps what you're feeling doesn't occur. You're never taught that. Instead, you're taught that you have to go to a certain place or do a certain thing. in order to get even noticed, and even that perhaps through someone else. The truth is this. Inside you, even inside that multidimensional part of your DNA, is a connection to the creative source. Here's why. You've heard that each of you has a soul. It's common verbiage all over the planet, even used in nautical terms on how many souls on board. You know about souls. But when you start asking the question, what is it? It's a hard one. And the reason it's so difficult is because the truth is this: your soul is eternal. And every single lifetime you have comes from the one soul. Its soul doesn't change. Does it make sense to you that God would have created this beautiful, wonderful soul of yours and then destroyed it when you then passed over? That's what you're taught. And then, of course, after that comes judgment. That's what you're taught. Doesn't it make more sense that the soul would then be a vehicle of expression? That is to say, beautiful, loving piece of the Creator that it is, not apart from God. Your soul is connected to the soup of God. All that is that creative source that you want to call God has your soul in it. And that then becomes part of the vehicle for the expressions. The expression is the name of a lifetime that you have. I sit in front of old souls, almost everyone in the building. There are four exceptions. And the four exceptions simply haven't been here on this planet with enough lifetimes to be called old souls. But they're learning what old souls know. That is changing. What if I told you this, that the school of souls, that is to say, you come into this planet, then you come in again and again and again. It builds up that which is the learning so that you could become someone who awakens and understands. Because you've had all the experiences on this earth and been through so many things. But what if suddenly in this new energy, other things are starting to occur? What if you have some souls that have only been here a few times and they haven't had the experience? But something is happening where they are starting to assimilate what you know. And they're becoming old souls in the attributes of their lives, but they haven't been here long enough like you have. Now, what's that about? This will be called the Lighthouse Channel. For what I'm about to tell you. Early on, in the Cry on Work, we established a metaphor. It's always been a metaphor about light and dark, always, because that is what you understand the most. It's such a perfect metaphor, because you see in the light and you don't in the dark. And in the darkness is where you expect evil things, and on. So it becomes the metaphor, a pretty good one. Not only that, illumination is the other one that has always worked for us. And one of the first lessons we gave, the first time we literally were in front of a crowd, we talked about the dark room. The room is dark, many humans are in it, and they don't trust each other, and they can't see one another. And so they huddle in groups and compete for the things in the room. They don't trust one another, to the degree that they think others are going to attack them and take their resources, and so they attack back or first. And I've just described human history for eons. Suddenly, someone finds that miracle thing that creates some light, a match, perhaps. And they illuminate it and light a candle, perhaps. And in that candlelight, even a little bit, so many people can start to see. And as soon as they start to see one another, they realize they're alike. And they start then to be able to talk to those because they can see them now. They're not out of sight and out of reach in the dark. And that creates things like trade and trust. And then they will say, well, what have you got there that, that has caused this. You say, well, it's a candle. And they say, well, I've got some wax. Let's see if I can have one too. And on it goes and on it goes. That's the metaphor of spreading your light. Or the whole idea that a little light in a dark place goes a long way. The other metaphor, of course, is that light is active and dark is passive. That is to say, the definition of darkness is the absence of light. You don't open a door and have darkness spill out. It's the opposite. So you can see where you put light, darkness cannot exist. Great metaphor. And it shows you what's going on the planet. When you have a revelation, such as happening right now and will take place, it's like turning on the lights in a room that has been dark for 100 years or more. And when you start shining a bright light there, everything stinks. Everything is dirty. And you see the dirt from 100 years. And most of us, meaning you, meaning on our side as well, will not tolerate darkness. And the first thing you want to do is clean it up. Because it's where you live. It's where you exist. And so that has always been the metaphor of dark and light. A little later on in that, which is the career of Kryon, about 16 years ago or more, we started to talk about the old souls of the planet being the lighthouses of Earth. And that brings us to this space right now. We sit in a historic building, all of us, that is connected to the buildings around an ancient, if you want to call that, lighthouse. When I say ancient, a lighthouse that existed before electricity. Many did. What did they do there, and how did they do it? We'll talk about that in a moment because we have a metaphor of the lighthouse. But let's talk about the initial metaphor of what a lighthouse is, because we started calling you light workers. Light workers, and the whole name of light workers, has not been around that long, dear ones. You won't find it much 200 years ago or 100 years ago. Or 50 years ago. It's a term that many started using only in the last 20 to 30 years. And it refers to a human being who truly works with light. And just the metaphor alone tells you what we mean, but what if there was actually light that a human could work with? In a way, there is. And that light becomes the consciousness that you develop that emanates the mastery that you study. The ability not to react, the ability to observe, the ability to have that which is the countenance of a master, slow to anger, quick to respond in kindness and compassion. And that gets attention. Quick to laugh where joy is always there, where a smile is something that you're proud of. That particular individual creates other individuals around them who are attracted by their light. So the metaphor of the lighthouse goes like this. Lighthouses are useful when? At night. So the usefulness of a lighthouse has always been that which is at night. And the premise is this, that the ships that travel into the port depend upon the lighthouse to keep them off the rocks. They depend upon the lighthouse to steer them into safe harbor. So the lighthouse becomes something very interesting. The lighthouse keeper, the one who strikes the light, is never known. And thousands of ships in the night will take a look at that and go to their safe harbor, never knowing or seeing a lighthouse keeper. And yet the lighthouse keeper knows what he or she is doing and is careful to always keep the light bright and clean and working so that those ships will see it and know it. They also know that if a light goes out, many are in trouble. That's the old soul. If you go to the lighthouse on this property, you will see an example of what some people will call hardship. It was not back then. It was simply duty. It was simply the way things worked. If you were a lighthouse keeper, you had a lot to do. In order for the mechanism itself to work, not just to show the light, but to spin around so that it was seen very clearly in 360 degrees, a set of weights and balances, like a clock, had to be wound at a certain time so they always worked and so the spinning would be accomplished. There was no electricity. So you might say the lighthouse keeper was the only one who could make that work, not the electric company. And so the lighthouse keeper constantly had to be aware of what I will say, winding the lighthouse. In addition, that which made the light, the fluid, whether it was a kerosene or something else, it always had to be lighted. At one time in history, it was whale oil. So it has come a long way, but the lighthouse keeper always had to make sure there was enough of it in order to keep the light working. So that particular lighthouse keeper, which is the metaphor of a light worker, has a lot to do. Dear ones, let me tell you something. If you get to a stage where you feel you're shining your light to your family, to others, to the rest of the planet, to anyone, it's not permanent. You got to work at it. Some people say, well, I'm trying to have my joy factor 24/7. Good luck. Human nature is human nature. And there are some things that will keep you from being joyful when you're in pain, perhaps, or in fear, perhaps. And you have to wind that clock to understand, to get back to that place where you can start to show that which is the God part of you. Keeping the light lit, just keeping it shining. That joy factor, yet again, is the light that you have. Just keeping it always shining is not possible. There are times when it goes out, when you're not necessarily in your best way. We know that. So that means that being a light worker is difficult. No one expects, no angelic entity looking at you would expect that you would get so far above human nature that all of you would be masters. That's why we're here. Those guides that you have, that's why they're here, to help you wind the clock. That's why they're here 24/7, because when you don't feel up to it, that's when you can take their hands and feel something that we invite you to feel. Something you think might be esoteric, but it isn't. It's in 3D. In a way of reaching up and taking the hands of your guides to infuse you with peace, with a feeling of safety, with lack of fear. And in the midst of even trial and turmoil, the ability for you to be compassion and kindness is there. That's what makes the difference. So just knowing what you know does not mean you're a lighthouse. Just being an old soul does not mean you're a lighthouse. What it is knowing what to do. When it doesn't shine right, or when the clock isn't working well, and the weights aren't turning it correctly. That makes the difference. And so we give you these things so that you know that help is always there. You are connected to your soul. That means that all of you are connected to the creative source in a very permanent way that your culture has talked you out of. Let this be the time that you would examine yourself and ask that question. Is it true that I'm connected all the time? Is it true when I don't feel like it, or I don't feel like my light is working, that I can get help? And the answer is yes. Then you start developing the method, and it's not the same for everyone. It just isn't. Every one of you is unique and different. How do you feel when you get that connection? That's different for everyone. There are some now that are so used to that connecting, they can actually describe the chills or whatever it is for them. Others say, well, it happens during my sleep. Others say, I have to stop and be quiet, and then I realize it. And others are so used to having it, they simply turn their heads and wink the right way. And in come the guides, because it's their signal, because it becomes the way of their life. That is a light worker. This particular channel is for those who have difficulty always being in that joy, in that compassion, in that kindness, because it's not always there, perhaps in your family or the people you're with. And it becomes something you say, well, life beats me up, and it's tough to continue. There are things around me that make me sad, and that makes it hard to be joyful. And I'm telling you, you can create a bubble for yourself that doesn't isolate you from anyone. It isolates you from fear. It isolates you from the dark. It isolates you from heart hurt, if you wish. It's always there. It's an invitation to learn to use it, to take it. It is your birthright. It's why you're here. Did you ever wonder why now? Why are you in the shift? Why are you going through things that are so very different? And the answer is because you signed up for it. You really did. At some level, you knew it was here and coming. And that means that your tool set has also gotten bigger, and it's right next to you. Learn how to use it. You're going to live longer. Because if you are in joy, your body is healthy. If you are in a state of compassion and kindness most of the time, your body doesn't age as much. Disease will not attach itself to someone who is balanced and joyful. Did you know that? It just doesn't like you. There is a dark and light balance of disease. Disease is alive. It has energy. Some even say that certain viruses and bacteria have a consciousness. Now, that's not exactly true, but it does have a sense of what it will work with its host or not. And that's why some people that you know never catch anything. Is that the first time you've heard this? I want you to know there are a lot of things at work here that you were never told. Not every single human being is the same, even though your organs are in the same place. Not every single human being is the same simply because they can count your blood or look in a microscope and see you're the same as the one next to you. Well, you're not. And it ought to give you an idea that you're not, because your consciousness, which is energy, is unique for every single soul. The bodies that you develop, how you think, what you do, all has a place on the planet that is seen by the environment around you. Very interesting when it comes to disease. Dear ones, I want to tell you, consciousness is the key. How many of you, in closing, have known those who are invested in the dark? Who are so unaware, they pull bad things to them on a daily basis. And you'll also know that they don't live that long. How many of you know or have seen a hypochondriac? So afraid of catching everything out there that eventually they do. Not just one thing, but a cascading events of diseases and troubles and aches and pains, and eventually they die. I just described to you the power of consciousness and the way disease and bad things work. It's almost like you open the door and allow things to come in. People who are victims are this way, who say, only bad things happen to me, not understanding that statement alone goes into the ethers and into the field, and the bad things they're afraid of line up to occur to them. And those who would say, I am on a path of light, a path of health, those who expect those things to happen to them which are beneficial and help them and the others around them and their families seem to have that and bring it to them. Law of attraction, some have said, it isn't. It's the energy of consciousness. You studied it today. My partner talked about it today. This is what we want you to know in this Lighthouse channel, that the energy of light creates a situation where darkness cannot exist. Maybe it's time to wind that clock a little. I'm crying in love with all of you. And so it is.